a wonderful occasion that we celebrate today. For today we celebrate this Congress of the Legion of Mary of 2025, a holy year of grace. And of course we receive a plenary indulgence for participating in these sacred mysteries. And of course, we have chosen to celebrate the Mass of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima, the Immaculate Conception. And it is the Mass that is to be said whenever we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima. So we read in the readings not only the beautiful Gospel, Mary stood by the cross. She was always with him from the moment she said yes to the angel, to the moment he died, to the moment he rose from the dead. What more does it take to be co-redemptrix of all mankind? And for those who do not understand theology or Mariology, they don't know what they're talking about. And luckily, those things that are said are not infallible and that do not have to be obeyed by anybody. And then, of course, we have the reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus, and the book of Wisdom. As a vine, I have brought forth a pleasant odor. The pleasant odor is the Lord and Savior of mankind, through whom she came. He came. She gave birth to the Son of God. She agreed to the request of God the Father through St. Gabriel the Archangel. How can this be, since I do not know man? I'm a virgin, and a virgin I will continue to be. How can this be? He says, the child to be born of thee shall be conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by man. There is no man who is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father. Mary is the one and only Mother. Through Mary, Jesus came. So she is indeed the mediatrix of all graces, because Jesus Christ is the capital grace. Who is grace? Who gives all graces? And so today, as we enter into this day of meditation and prayer in honor of the Blessed Mother and of her Divine Son, we need to remember this, that we need to have the right and proper understanding of the terminology which is now being questioned by those who obviously missed that class in theology in the seminary. And I will not put up with it. Neither will God. For those who offend the Blessed Mother of God, the punishment will be severe. Their end will be bad and evil, and will only lead to eternal hell. We want nothing to do with that. We continue to believe the faith which the popes forever have said, in particular in the last century, Pope Leo XIII, St. Pius X, Pope Pius XI, Venerable Pius XII, St. John the 23rd, St. Paul the 6th, St. John Paul the 2nd. Who is some measly cardinal to tell us? And why are these things being promulgated, much to the anger of God? And mind you me, dark days are coming. Not maybe for you and me, though we may be sharers in those days. But no one who offends the Holy Mother of God will get away with it. And so today we come here to honor God, her beloved Son. She who is the Mother of divine life. I have brought forth a pleasant odor, Jesus Christ. My flowers are the fruit of honor and riches. Who is the flower of this Mother? The eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. I am the mother of fair love, as we celebrated yesterday on the first Friday of the month. Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart is the love of God for mankind. And Mary is the mother of that same Jesus Christ, of that same Sacred Heart. In fact, were enough for her, there would be no Sacred Heart. Because the Sacred Heart is real flesh and blood. The flesh and blood of Jesus Christ comes only from Mary and no one else. The only DNA to be found in Jesus is the DNA of Mary. She is indeed the mother of fair love, Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart. She is the mother of fear, the fear of God, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we fear to offend God. And of course, as legionaries of Mary and as faithful Catholics, under no condition should we want to offend God. And to offend His mother is to offend God. And a fear, holy fear, and knowledge which comes from Christ through Mary, and of holy hope. How can we have any hope of life and of virtue if it does not come to us through her only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? So she invites us, and this is all way back in the Old Testament, these prophecies were laid forth, and Holy Mother of the Church places it in this Mass to teach us, to inspire us, to bring us to the truth, the only truth. Come over to me, all ye that desire me. And of course, as legionaries of Mary, we desire Mary. And as we desire Mary, we desire her Son, Jesus Christ. And be filled with my fruits, the fruits which the Holy Spirit gives, that also come to us through her. Come over to me, for my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey and the honeycomb. And of course, at the time that these words were written, at the time of Christ, the only sweetener there was in the world was honey. It was the epitome of sweetness, which it still is in many ways. A healthy sweetness, filled with life, filled with good things physically and spiritually. So indeed, that which comes to us from Mary is sweet above honey, because it is Jesus Christ. And above honey and the honeycomb, the actual bearer of the honey, Mary is the honeycomb. She gives us the honey, which is Christ. My memory is unto everlasting generations. How is it that this shall happen? And when she comes to visit St. Elizabeth, her cousin, they shall remember me for ages to come. And then she pronounces that which is our Tessera, the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The fact that Mary is mediatrix of all graces, the fact that Mary is the bearer of that honey, of that Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, does not mean that she does not rely on Him. She is not God. She is not the fourth person of the Trinity. There is no such thing. To say that is to offend her to the nth degree. We know that it is through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that she is made immaculate at the moment of her conception in the womb of St. Anne, and that she is born immaculate, and that she is still immaculate. She knows not sin. She does not belong to the devil at any stage of her life or now her eternity. They that eat me shall yet hunger. We know very well that if we like something that we eat, We cannot get enough of it. And that's what this means. They that eat me shall yet hunger. When we partake of the Blessed Mother, of that most gracious gift of the Blessed Mother that comes to us from the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we desire more and more and more. It is so sad that we are so weak that we get tired of praying, that we get tired of going to Mass and Communion, that we get tired of saying the Rosary. How can that be? The more you eat, the more you want. So the things that are given to us that are holy and wholesome, the more we eat, the more we want. They that drink me shall yet thirst. How can we drink of Mary? How can we drink of Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist? But not that we have to receive the chalice, which is reserved for the priest. Thank you. It is I who receive it for you. And the other things, the whole Council of Trent was preoccupied by the fact that the Lutherans wanted for the people to receive the chalice. And St. Peter Canisius, one of the leading fathers and doctors of the Council of Trent, thought this with every fiber of his being. And now we see this done. Woe is me. We need to pray for the restoration of the Church, for the restoration of the Mass, for the restoration of Communion, the way in which it is meant to be. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded. He that listens to me. As legionaries of Mary, it would be shameful and horrible if we did not listen to Mary. And if we did not listen to the popes throughout the ages and to the dogmas concerning the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Fair Love, the Immaculate Conception, the Perpetual Virgin, who at the moment of her passing from this earth was assumed into heaven by her Son, Jesus Christ. They that work by me shall not sin. So, of course, when we as legionaries in our own personal lives sin, we are betraying Mary and her Son, Jesus Christ. They that work by me shall not sin. And thus, as legionaries, we work by Mary, we work for Mary, we work under Mary to proclaim the greatness of Christ. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. And of course, life everlasting, heaven. But who are they that explain me? In the first place, it is supposed to be the hierarchy, the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. We are supposed to explain her, her reality, her truth, her wonders. But in a second place, the legionaries of Mary and all the other confraternities and societies that work for Mary and under Mary. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. So what does Jesus promise to us? And he does it today as he has done from the time of his ascension into heaven. Heaven. Heaven is one of the last things about which we meditate during this month of November, this month particularly dedicated to the souls in purgatory, but also to the communion of saints, the church triumphant in heaven, for which we long and for which we must work every day of our lives, the church suffering in purgatory, for which we pray. And of course, during this month of November, especially this 8 days of the octave of All Souls, when we go to the cemetery and pray for the souls in purgatory, we can obtain for them a plenary indulgence, not for us, but for them. But also, it is my practice, it is not indulgence by any way, but it is indulgence by the very being of the practice, to go to the cemetery every single day of the month of November and to pray for the holy souls in purgatory, where they are, in the ground or in a tomb, there you shall be. I shall be there before you. Where they are in purgatory, you shall be. Very few have gone straight to heaven. St. Thomas Aquinas, 6 months after his death, appeared to another Dominican friar and he asked him to pray for him because he was about to get out of purgatory. Imagine that, St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian of the church, the greatest doctor of the church, a person pure as a lily, holy almost as the Blessed Mother, and he spent 6 months in purgatory. And 1 second of purgatory is more painful and brings more suffering than all your life if you were suffering. 1 second in purgatory is connected to time. It's not heaven, it's not eternity. It's connected to time. And that's why we can pray for them. So please, please have the practice of praying, especially this month, especially if you can, to just, even if you drive through the cemetery, pray for the souls in purgatory and obtain for them a plenary indulgence and obtain for yourselves all the graces that can be had. So these are holy things of our holy Catholic faith that have been handed down to us through time. And so we give to God thanks. And as legionaries, we give many, many thanks because we have the beginnings on this earth of eternity. What eternity? They that explain me shall have life everlasting. Remember that. Remember that, and you shall live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.